Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and more. And HR manager salaries are never cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business, and they help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, there are no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time in HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Kirk. Spelled B-A-M to the B-E-E.com/Kirk. I have some questions for some members of the activist media. Why is it that President Donald Trump did better in every single urban area versus Hillary Clinton margins, did better with Black and Hispanic voters, but somehow did worse in Atlanta, Milwaukee, Detroit, and Philadelphia? That's a pretty good question to ask. According to National Review, did you know that there are 14,000 people that are dead on the voter rolls in Michigan and Detroit? That's according to National Review. 14,000 people. Look, there's a very good argument to be made that this election could possibly and is being stolen in front of our very eyes by very, very powerful people through voter registration, mail-in balloting, through outright and total voter fraud. We have gone through a lot of these examples before on our program. And what we're seeing right now across the country is a question of whether or not we are going to audit, verify, and corroborate these elections. If the Biden campaign doesn't want an audit of our elections, the question should be why. What are they afraid that we could possibly find if we look into the outright malfeasance that is happening in the inner cities of our country? Let's play cut 11. This is what the media is already saying. They say that Biden should become president-elect. Play cut 11.
Is there anyone inside the president's circle, if it gets to the point you were just talking about a minute ago, who can go and tell him it's time to accept this with grace?
So you're already seeing that members of the media are now saying that President Donald Trump should concede and it should just be Joe Biden's election. It's very frustrating, to be honest with you. We've been traveling the country the last couple months. From July 1st, we've done hundreds and hundreds of events. We've done two podcasts a day. We dedicated ourselves to this entire fight. And I really believe that if you counted legal votes, we're going to win. But now you're starting to see the not so sudden trickle in of ballots, death by a thousand cuts, where all of a sudden that meter that you see on television shows Donald Trump now down in Pennsylvania. How convenient. Where it shows Donald Trump now down in Georgia. And why it takes so long to count these ballots and why it takes so long to go through every single one of these counties is a mystery to me. Do we have tape here of Nancy Pelosi? What does Nancy Pelosi have to say? Let's play tape of Nancy Pelosi. I'll be curious. I haven't heard this yet. Play Nancy Pelosi.
Again, I see it as an opportunity. I think Joe Biden has a big mandate, a bigger mandate than John F. Kennedy when I was in school, and a bigger mandate than others.
So Nancy Pelosi's already treating him as if he's president. So Jonathan Turley, I don't know if Andrew played some of these clips or not, so I apologize if we're doing it again. You did? You played Turley? Well, Jonathan Turley said that that the Trump campaign has a legitimate objection to how monitors and observers were treated in Pennsylvania. But unfortunately, it seems that the powers to be are calling the shots right now in the inner cities of these counties, I should say. Let's play cut four. I'm sure Andrew already played this, but I want to play Jack Corman, Pennsylvania State Senate Majority Leader. Play cut four.
But just to remind everyone, the vote count is one of the first part of this process. Once that happens, the counties have to certify all the results, and then you have challenges. So you can have four challenges. You can have recounts. I think clearly there could be an interest in recounting Philadelphia since they wouldn't allow the poll watchers to do their job as is in the statute here in Pennsylvania. So, this is just the first step.
So this is just the first step. And if there is a recount, I believe that many of these voter rolls will be purged and you'll see dead voters. You'll see people that have expired on the voter rolls that have been voting or participating in elections for quite some time. After working as hard as we did at Turning Point Action and all of our efforts, it is very hard to see an election that looked very, very good by every single metric all of a sudden go in a negative direction. Looks like Fox News has uncalled Arizona. Is that right? All of a sudden now they're calling Arizona in the TBD column. But one of the major reasons that this is all happening is the Democrat dominance in urban America. We talked about this, mail-in balloting fraud and social media tech fraud, for months leading into the election. The question is, why wasn't anything done about this? Why didn't the Department of Justice have its civil rights division and its voting rights division in the inner city of our country? Why didn't we not have platoons of poll observers and poll watchers? And we had some people, I guess they got tossed out. Why is it that we were so outmaneuvered on this, where the fraud is so abundantly clear? And I'm actually looking at these numbers right now. Pennsylvania, Nevada, Georgia. If Biden wins, he'll only win on the margin. So despite all the fraud and the cheating, Joe Biden still barely wins. Here's a question for you. When I was giving the plea for everyone to go find an extra vote on Tuesday, did you? When we were talking a week ahead of the election, I said, please go knock on doors, text all your friends. Did you? And if you live in Georgia and you're listening to this program, or you live in Pennsylvania, we're looking at really razor thin margins. Here's something that I really am upset about. People that were saying we were going to win in a landslide. Do you know why I'm so upset about that? Because I know so many patriots that sat at home and watched football and did nothing because they were told that this thing was going to be won in a 320 vote electoral landslide. Well, it didn't happen. And so as we were busting our tail, crisscrossing the country, going state to state, literally running ourselves into the ground, we've done over 20 hours of live broadcasting this week easily. The question should be, did we do enough? Did we do enough to actually make this happen? And some of you are saying, oh, they would have cheated all the way through. No, that's not true. We won by so much in Ohio, they weren't able to cheat the difference. When this thing gets in the margins within 100,000 ballots, they're able to manufacture ballots to get it over the top. So I know thousands and thousands of American patriots that in some ways kind of sat this one out. They said, oh, I think we got it rock solid. I think we're going to win. And now we're seeing this thing being won or lost by 10 or 15,000 votes in every single state. And to Nancy Pelosi, that's not a mandate. Okay. The Senate will likely remain in Republican hands. The Senate will likely stay under Mitch McConnell. And I'm not saying Trump's going to lose assuredly, but I think we all see what's happening here. The fraud is in. And we'll see if the lawsuits and the irregularities surface, and we'll see if the Supreme Court can intervene. However, it's becoming more and more likely that the bad guys have fixed this thing for their own benefit. That they saw this was going to be on the margins. They made a couple phone calls. They deployed the Chicago machine across the country. And now we're starting to see how much they actually wanted Donald Trump to be defeated. Now we are seeing how they actually wanted Donald Trump out of office. Let's play cut five. Fox News on a voter analysis of voter confidence and count accuracies in elections. Play cut five.
And historically, sir, it's not as if Pennsylvania is the most trusted state when it comes to voting. In fact, we did a Fox News voter analysis. I'm not sure if we have this to put on the screen, but they talked about how confident are you that votes will be counted accurately in Pennsylvania. And you can see at the top of the screen, 21% said very confident, 43% somewhat, 27% not to, and not at all. I mean, that's not exactly a resounding endorsement of your state's voting history.
So people are losing faith in their institutions and in their systems. If people don't trust the system that elects their leaders, they're not going to trust their leaders. And if they don't trust their leaders, they're not going to trust what they're leading, which is civil government. And that is a very dangerous path to be on. In fact, if you don't trust civil government and you don't trust what we all consent to, then you're going to have a rebellion on your hands. And that is not a good thing. This process of counting votes should be done out in the open so that everyone can see who the legitimate winner is. So that everyone can see very clearly that they trust the system of how we elect our leaders. You guys have heard me talking about Good Ranchers before. They're unbelievable. They're the best. You guys want to get meat in a box? From all across this beautiful country, it's goodranchers.com. They bring 100% American-born, raised and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. Goodranchers.com partners directly with only American ranches from across the United States to bring the highest quality meat right to your door. Goodranchers.com. Goodranchers.com gets 100% American-raised beef right to your door, beef the way it used to be. Get America's best grass-fed beef delivered straight to your door. Don't forget, shipping is always free and the taste is always delicious. Don't waste your money on cheap cuts or overseas beef buying from other guys. Get the best American beef cuts your family deserves with Good Ranchers. Buy today at goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie.
It's amazing. Even despite all the fraud and the cheating and the treachery, Donald Trump did incredibly well. We'll see if Trump is able to overcome whatever deficit it is through the courts. But recounts are tough. And here's why it's so difficult, is that the federal government does not oversee elections. The Constitution says very clearly that the states run the elections, that these are state-run practices, that the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. It's a very important part of our system. So what did people like George Soros and Tom Steyer spend their time and money doing? Taking over Democrat secretaries of state's offices, taking over the urban cities of our country so that they're able to have expanded ballots, voter fraud measures, so that they can continue to operate with remarkable amounts of malfeasance. Is this Pat Toomey? Yeah, let's play Pat Toomey, the senator from Pennsylvania. Play tape.
You know, in Pennsylvania, unfortunately, it's been a little bit complicated by a Pennsylvania State Supreme Court that went rogue and decided to violate the U.S. Constitution, ignore Pennsylvania law, and just rewrite the law themselves. They have no authority to do that. And they extended the period of time over which ballots can arrive beyond the deadline. That's outrageous, frankly. Now, it's really important that those ballots be segregated because it is against the law. It is unconstitutional.
So Allegheny County still has to report. Is that right? They took the last couple of days off. So that'll probably add another tens of thousands of votes for Biden. And there's 40,000 military ballots that have yet to be counted in Pennsylvania, still due to arrive on the 10th. How anyone can call Pennsylvania still is absolutely unbelievable to me. And so we have Allegheny County in Pennsylvania. Georgia has become a complete total circus. There's 8,900 military ballots left in Georgia, and the margin for Biden is 1,000 to 2,000. We have a recount coming, and even the Georgia Secretary of State's office says that there are irregularities and there are things that have gone wrong. Do you have a clip on that? Let's play the Georgia Secretary of State's office. Okay, so Andrew said we're trying to get that. So this is going to be the new talking point of the left. Let's play cut 12 of Joe Scarborough.
And I say this as a guy who was a Republican for 20, 25 years. So much of that also comes from just an overwhelming sense of victimhood. I really don't get it. I mean, the victimhood. I mean, come on. Stop being a victim. Stop being a snowflake. You need to take a long, cold shower.
Yeah. And then we do have the Georgia Secretary of State's cut 14.
As we are closing in on a final count, we can begin to look toward our next steps. With a margin that small, there will be a recount in Georgia.
So there will be a recount in Georgia. So we'll see how that one works out. And but Stacey Abrams is probably going to arrive with another 10,000 ballots in the next couple of days. Just coming on in. Stacey Abrams with wheelbarrows full of ballots. Just coming on in. We all work for Stacey Abrams. You might not realize it. Nancy Pelosi is the real loser throughout all of this. Nancy Pelosi had the worst evening of anyone. Let's play cut 9.
So I am so officially pleased with the outcome that is imminent, and also personally delighted because of the quality and caliber of leadership that Joe Biden will provide. This morning, it is clear that the Biden-Harris ticket will win the White House.
Nancy Pelosi made a bold prediction that she thought she was going to gain 15 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. 15 seats. Even Republicans agreed with her. When Republicans were put on the record, they said, well, we think we're going to have a good night. We're not sure it's going to be that bad. Republicans so far have gained 6 seats. They might gain upwards of 11 to 12 seats. Currently in California District 21, we have David Valdeotto, who's ahead by 4,000 votes. I think they're going to call in Stacey Abrams to help TJ Cox there. Got Mike Garcia up 1,000 votes. That's enough for them to manufacture. In Georgia 6, the Democrat won, but that's not a flip. Georgia 7, Democrat 1. But Rodney Davis won in Illinois 13, Republican. Indiana, District 5, Victoria Spartz won. Iowa, District 1, Ashley Hinson won. Minnesota, District 7, Michelle Fischbach won, which is a really big flip. Don Bacon won in Nebraska 2. Chip Roy won. And these are all Republicans, by the way. And so currently right now, we have a couple really close races. Beth Van Dyne is going to hang on, it looks like, in suburban Dallas, which is a really, really big race for those people that have been following it across the country for Republicans mm-hmm. to be able to take back the House, at least in the next cycle. Claudia Tenney, super surprised, won by 12 points in upstate New York.
It's amazing.
That's Trump country up there. So here's what I don't understand. How is President Trump able to lift all these other candidates across the country, make massive gains in the U.S. Houses of Representatives, and yet we get slaughtered in the inner cities with a 90% turnout?
It's a really, really good question. It's actually there's
who is asking these questions?
No,
who
the
is actually investigating
has a piece right now? That's really interesting. It says Biden's performance in Milwaukee raises questions about Wisconsin votes. So mind you, Joe Biden got more votes, if we're to believe the tallies, in Milwaukee than Barack Obama did in 2008. The only problem is that Milwaukee has been shrinking. There's 26,000 less registered voters in Milwaukee County than there was in 2008. So how did that happen? 2008 was probably, I mean, Charlie, you would agree with this, being a Chicago native,
yeah,
that Obama was a movement unlike we've ever seen, maybe except for Trump, right?
Especially in the urban areas. I mean, it was Obama was to Chicago as Trump is to West Virginia.
So how did he overperform?
No, but I mean, who's asking these questions? Where's the Department of Justice? Where is Bill Barr?
Great
Where's
point.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation? Where's the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ? And look, it might not be enough to come up with some of these deficits, but I want answers because this is so undemocratic. And so here's a very simple question. And I want to thank those of you that are joining us on our live stream and radio stations across the country. You guys can email us freedom@charliekirk.com. And thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support doing these late night rallies. We've been doing late night rallies, picking up the steam because this president has been fighting so hard for our country. It's time for us to do the same. But here's a very important question. And I hope that we really engage in lawfare. I hope that we start lawsuits all across the country. I hope that we just start suing in every direction in every one of these cities, because I think we really deserve answers in our country for what's been happening here. And so, but here's just a very simple question. How is it possible? And if anyone can answer this question that's a Democrat, please, you're welcome as a guest on my show. You're going to have as much uninterrupted time as possible to answer this question. I mean that. If there's any Democrat out there that, like Juan Williams or that Ethan guy, any one of them.
Ethan Bierman.
Yeah, who decided to just become a complete and total apparatchik on television the other night. He's done in my book. But if he wants to come back on TV on our show, I'll mute my mic and he can talk uninterrupted. Or that Chris Hahn guy, or any one of them. Can any one of these Democrat strategists, anyone, please explain to me how Joe Biden had higher turnout in the black community than Barack Obama, despite no ground game, no operation in the inner cities, no rallies, no enthusiasm? How do you have a higher ground, but only in those cities?
Well, and with the president getting 18% of, at least as we now know, right, exit polling would indicate 18% of African American males, 18%, which is a record, by the way.
Aren't we lucky to have Mitt Romney? This is the type of Republican Party that Trump has defeated. And by the way, they want to get back in power. This is Mitt Romney. The president, it was within his right to request recounts, to call for investigation of alleged voting irregularities where evidence exists, and to exhaust legal remedies. Doing these things is consistent with our election process. He is wrong to say that the election was rigged, corrupt, and stolen. Doing so damages the cause of freedom here and around the world, weakens the institutions that lie at the foundation of the republic, recklessly inflames destructive and dangerous passions. Mitt Romney, this is exactly why we're not going to give up. So people like you never get back in power.
That's right. This doesn't even make sense. He's saying he has every recourse to see if something illegal happened.
If there's anyone in Utah watching right now, freedom@charliekirk.com, email us. Can you please just go launch an effort to recall Mitt Romney?
Recall Mitt Romney.
We have received this one many times of 13-year-olds voting in Chicago. I want this one to be investigated. It's been circulated throughout the internet. But where's the Department of Justice looking into this? So people say, well, the DOJ has no jurisdiction. That's half true. The DOJ has plenty of jurisdiction to be able to go into the inner cities and be able to look into voter fraud. For example, I think a lot of these, here's what I think is actually happening here. I think a lot of these Secretary of States and a lot of these county registers and a lot of these people that are in charge of counting ballots, they're really afraid of the Kamala Harris DOJ that's about to take over, that's going to send in the Civil Rights Division against them in January. So they're hedging. They know that the Trump bar DOJ is not going to do anything, because the Trump bar DOJ has been, you know, the bar DOJ has been cowardly. Nothing's been done. Where's the Durham report, by the way? Are we going to get the Durham report? What about Michael Flynn? None of that justice will be served. As I said,
what about Biden himself? What about Joe Biden?
Yeah, but I mean,
he's the big guy, the chairman.
But I hate when I'm right. We talk about this on this program for the last 6 months. Stop believing like the institutions work. People are like, oh, Barr is coming, Durham's coming. I said, what country do you think you live in? Do you think you live in a country with a justice department?
Right.
I mean, how many times we get that question? We went across the country all the time.
Is it going to drop? Are we going to?
When is it going to happen? People going to be arrested? And I just tell people, just disconnect yourself from what you actually think the system is to what it is, which is a rotten cartel of insiders that protect their own warmongering, corporatist, pro-Chinese, anti-American interests. And all we have is Donald Trump. So here's why it's important. Okay. President Trump is all that stands between us and the deluge. Here's my, and if Joe Biden announces that he's president of the United States, I will tweet the following. Après nous, le déluge, which means after us, the flood. Nothing good is going to come after that, okay? There will be audits. There will be clampdowns on people of faith. There will be revenge campaigns. Front page of the Daily Kos today says, we will never forgive or forget the people that played a role in this, and we're going to come after you. They're already talking about massive revenge campaigns.
Yep.
This will be no different than a Mao Zedong style campaign to go after dissidents. Just maybe less violent. I said maybe.
They're experts at putting a glossy sheen on this sort of thing too, right? They'll say all the right things. They'll channel their inner Obama, and it'll sound good going down.
But look, Kamala Harris, she has her eyes on the DOJ. She was a former attorney general of California. If she becomes president of the United, if she becomes vice president, she'll basically be president. But the DOJ is going to be so weaponized. I'm telling you, that's going to be the most dangerous thing. They're going to go after conservatives. They're going to go after media networks. They're probably going to go after, you know, a lot of us through whatever. They're going to come after any sort of civil rights thing. They're going to be like, oh, your companies are not, you know, equitably diverse.
I want to talk about internet freedom. Social media companies get to decide what content is suitable for the sensitive snowflakes among us and censor whatever they don't like. Shouldn't you be the one to decide what you want to read or watch, not them? Where there's one thing you can control, their access to your data. And for that, I use ExpressVPN. You see, the problem with big tech companies is that they not only censor what you read, but they track what you do online. They track what you're searching for, the videos you watch, and everything you click. They use this data to serve you ads and can match your activity to your offline identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, these tech companies can't see my IP address at all. My identity is masked and anonymized by a secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers and internet bad guys. So right now, go to expressvpn.com/Charlie. 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 And why would you give these tech companies a free license to know everything about you? So go to expressvpn.com/Charlie today.
Now, here's the good news, though, everybody. And here's where the founders were so brilliant. No matter what happens, Joe Biden and his apparatchiks will not, if they win, which it's not done yet, it's not. And I'm going to tell you why, because we have some breaking news here we're going to share exclusively here on the Charlie Kirk Show of legit. Alleged something. I don't want this stream to suddenly be Epstein'd, okay? I don't want this stream to just disappear.
I don't get to join all the time. So this okay. Is a bad time for it to go.
All right.
Go down.
So let's get this chart up on screen, please. And we're also going on radio stations across the country. Can we get this chart up on screen? Okay. Let me tell you what's going on in this chart.
Yeah. For the radio audience.
Okay. How is it in Pennsylvania? Nearly as many 90 plus year olds registered to vote in 2020 as registered in the combined years of 2008 to 2019 combined. Yet during 2020, a pandemic year, when the super old were isolated, they saw more than three times as many registrations of the super old as the next closest year. And yet the Democrats had no ground game and they were isolated and it was a pandemic. Do you see this on screen? This is Pennsylvania. How is this possible? No, this is just a question that needs to be asked. By the way, these are real questions that need to be asked, not fake questions that the Democrats have been asking out of Republicans around Russian collusion. Like, this is actual interference. Let's go back to the feed.
There's more evidence of voter fraud than there ever was of evidence of Russia collusion.
So here's what we're doing right now here on the Charlie Kirk Show. When you guys support us at charliekirk.com/support, how are we able to get this information? It's not coming from the institutional Republican establishment. This is our kind of research team that you guys are supporting. I had our research team go after the voter registration records for 90 plus year olds in Pennsylvania, and this is what we found. So just let's think about this, that more people in a pandemic year, 90 plus years old, registered to vote in Pennsylvania than the last 10 years in Pennsylvania, despite Obama running, despite McCain running, despite Romney running, despite all these other. All of a sudden, boom, 90 plus year olds say, this is now the election. In a pandemic year, I'm going to go register to vote, which takes a mechanical way to do that. How's that possible?
They're probably just really good at the internet, Charlie.
That's the explanation, right?
No.
But here's where I get a little bit of frustrated. We've talked a game on this, and Tom Fitton's done a good job, and Kathleen Engelbrecht. But who's actually done the overwhelming amount of work to fix that? And the answer is no one. So we now are going to have sequences of data coming on this program exclusively of demonstrating questions that need to be asked. For example, a very good question that needs to be asked is, how is it that Donald Trump did better in every urban center across the country? LA, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Denver, Dallas, Houston. But he did worse. But he did worse in Atlanta, Detroit, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia. How's that possible?
They were pretty irrelevant to the outcome of this election.
That's exactly right. And so also,
that's sarcasm, folks.
Here's the thing. Our data team has just uncovered this. How is it possible that nearly as many 90-year-olds registered to vote in 2020 in Pennsylvania?
We should throw that back
let's put that back up on the screen. By the way, this is an exclusive to the Charlie Kirk Show that our data geniuses have helped find. And by the way, why is the Republican Party not doing this? Where is the Republican Party institutionally
doing
all
this? That's a big question.
We worked our tail off to get Republicans the Senate. By the way, you're welcome. I'm not saying it's just me. And I'm glad Mitch McConnell's there so that he could just kill every one of Nancy Pelosi's bills. It's terrific. But explain to me exactly where this came from. You see that chart on screen? So this chart says nearly as many 90-year-olds registered to vote in 2020 as registered from 2008 to 2019. You see that spike, everybody? How is it that more 90-year-olds registered to vote in 1 year during a pandemic than the last decade in Pennsylvania? With no ground game and no money invested in actually trying to register new voters in Pennsylvania. Can anyone explain that? Andrew, what's your explanation of that?
Well, it all feels very above board, Charlie. I mean, it makes perfect sense that 90-year-olds in the middle of a pandemic would want to register to vote.
Yeah, and with no ground game at all whatsoever. How is it that Donald Trump did better than any Republican running for president with non-white voters in every major city, but he did worse with 90% turnout in Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Atlanta?
Well, and something I really, behind the scenes, I'm one of the guys that's working with the fact checkers. I get the emails from the reporters going like, hey, did you really say this? What did you really mean? So, okay, listen, I know better than anybody that you say this stuff in legacy news media, they call you a conspiracy theorist. That being said, one thing that you cannot refute is that on election night, they stopped reporting tallies in Wisconsin and it was Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Pennsylvania as well. They just stopped. And then we woke up in the morning and it was a landslide in the opposite direction. So what caused that? That's a real question that I have not heard a real answer for. What caused that?
So how is it possible that Donald Trump overperforms in every single state? But not only that zero Republican incumbents lose. So that means, what does that mean? That means no Republican incumbents lost in those suburban districts, none of them. That we do better in every one of those districts. Now, the only explanation would be that there would be 5 to 10% of people that were Biden Republican House voters. That's just not.
Donald Trump was the most. This is what is so infuriating. Donald Trump is the most popular Republican president amongst Republicans in modern American political history. So how do down ballot Republicans outperform him in these states? It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. So which exit poll is this from? What state that you just put up here?
That's nationwide. This is why we need people to get married, folks.
Oh, wow. I didn't see this. Can you put this up here? So Donald Trump won married men 53% to 46%. Donald Trump won married women 55% to 42%.
His most supportive category
was married women.
Married women.
More than married men.
Law and order, folks.
Unmarried men, 50% to 44%. Unmarried women, 62% to 37%.
No, he lost those two categories.
Yeah, he lost. Joe Biden won 50% of unmarried men and 62% of unmarried women.
That's the culture war right there.
Well, of course, it's because we've told young women that somehow they can find meaning in an endless, corporate career, and they end up being miserable by the time they're their early 30s or mid-30s.
It's an amazing stat.
And they try to reconcile their misery by voting for Democrats that say they're going to fix the world around them by punishing the men that they were told to hate.
Well, this is why the culture war that the GOP has avoided for so many years is actually central to saving the Republic in the long run, right? You cannot tell a whole generation of Americans not to get married, not to have kids, and then expect them to have a stake in the republic, have them have a proper perspective of what needs to happen for the future, for your children. So this is not surprising on one level.
So here's a really good question. Paul Ryan controlled the House of Representatives. McConnell controlled the Senate. Trump had the White House. Why didn't they pass a bill to audit all the voter rolls in all the states of our country for federal elections? The reason is that this is one of the most protected issues for Democrats. And if you dare, they say it's voter suppression. Okay. So they said Donald Trump was suppressing the vote. More people voted in this election than any other election in American history.
And he was such a despot that they think they're going to win.
So I'm going to get the numbers here. I believe that Donald Trump received more votes than Barack Obama did in 2012. Let me actually see here. So Donald Trump right now has 69.7 million votes. Barack Obama in 2008 at his watershed, 69.4 million votes. Donald Trump got 300,000 more votes than Barack Obama did in 2008. If you would have told me back in June that Donald Trump would win 69.7 million votes across the country, I'd say, can I get invited to the inauguration?
Well, and once the votes are all counted, he'll be over 70.
Yeah, so once the votes are all counted, Donald Trump will be over 70 million.
Maybe over 71, too.
Obama in 2012 got 65 million votes. To give you an idea of how decisive, how this is Donald Trump's party, and how Donald Trump did amazing in this election, Mitt Romney got 60 million votes in 2012. Donald Trump got 10 million more votes than Mitt Romney. Think about that. And we're supposed to believe that the American people are not with Donald Trump. By the way, the popular vote is way closer than anyone would have thought. The popular vote is within 1 or 2 points once it all comes in.
I thought we were down 17 points, Charlie.
Yeah, people said we were down 17 points in all the national polls.
By the way, that is...
But here's what I have to say. I just don't believe. I do not believe that 73 million alive, breathing Americans voted for Joe Biden. No way. The ballots going through, the machinery. And look, I'm going to tell you the story that I was going to tell you in the last hour, which is... You grow up in Chicago, you get very well versed with the Chicago machine. Let me tell you a story of the 1960 election. This is verified by historians, and every time I bring it up to a journalist, they agree because it's very well documented. Because now that it's 60 or 70 years old, no one really cares that much about it, right?
But it's a great story of how the
it's really important though. It's really important because it hasn't changed. Okay. So the 1960 presidential election was Richard Nixon versus John F. Kennedy Jr. Richard Nixon was the Republican, former vice president with Dwight D. Eisenhower, served for 8 years from 1952 to 1960. So Richard Nixon running up JFK. The election comes down to the wire. It's coming down to one battleground state, Illinois. So John F. Kennedy Jr.'s father was a bootlegger, a bad guy by the name of Joseph P. Kennedy, a bitter anti-Semite.
A very rich man,
hated Jews, probably contributed to tens of thousands of Jews being exterminated
this
in the Holocaust.
True, by the way. Yeah, this is true. Well,
of course it's true. I mean, I wouldn't be saying that wasn't true.
No, I just think when people hear these things, the first instinct is to say,
Joseph P. Kennedy was either ambassador to the United Kingdom. I'll get it really quick. But he served under FDR and he was instrumental in denying requests for asylum seekers from under, Nazi Germany. So Jews wanted to seek asylum. He denied those requests. And so then the Kennedy family, so Joseph P. Kennedy had several children. He had Joe Jr. who died at war. He had John F. Kennedy Jr. who became president. Robert F. Kennedy who was shot in 1968 or 1969. Ted Kennedy who probably murdered a woman at Chappaquiddick. That's pretty well verified. Got away with it because, again, that's the justice system that we have in our country. But anyway, so 1960 presidential elections coming down to the wire. There was a man that ran Chicago, the Chicago machine, Richard Daley, Mayor Daley. And Mayor Daley, he ran Chicago like a good, let's just put it this way, a good mob operation would. Okay? It was Al Capone-style operation. So then Joseph P. Kennedy realized his son was in trouble. This is documented. Historians have gone through this. And he brokered a deal with Mayor Daley to get John F. Kennedy Jr. elected in 1960. How did they do this and what did they want in return? Well, they wanted a railroad approved that the Kennedys would benefit tremendously from. Ended up happening financially. One of the first things that John F. Kennedy Jr. did when he was elected in 1960, Richard Nixon saw the fraud, the outright fraud that happened, and he did not contest it. I believe Richard Nixon not contesting the 1960 election is exactly why we're living through what we're living through right now. Is that gentlemanly Rockefeller Republican, we're not going to fight it. The system will eventually come back to us. It's exactly what Mitt Romney's saying right now.
Well, imagine.
This is verified, by the way. Mm-hmm. Verified by historians. So what did Mayor Daley do? Mayor Daley then went through the cemeteries, the voter registration records. He ran Chicago with an iron fist, everybody. Okay? My whole family has been there for generations. You grow up knowing that Chicago is the epicenter of Al Capone, of the Daley family. We're going to maximize the muscle so our own political families stay in power. Well, then you got Obama, you got Axelrod, and guess who else came from the suburbs of Chicago? Hillary Clinton went to Maine East High School in the suburbs of Chicago. You know who else came from Illinois? Ronald Reagan grew up in Eureka, Illinois, and Abraham Lincoln. So Illinois produced a couple people that are good, a couple people that are bad. It just seems that all roads lead through Illinois in one way or the other. What's the point of this? Voter fraud is real. And anyone who tries to tell you that voter fraud is some sort of figment of your imagination just wants power and is lying to you outrightly and directly. And so the Chicago political machine was now deployed to Milwaukee, Detroit, Philadelphia, and Atlanta. Those are the four cities. And guess what? Guess who Stacey Abrams learned under? Stacey Abrams is a state rep. She's done nothing in her life. But yet they mythologize her as if she's some form of a, you know, Greek god.
Yeah.
Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because Stacey Abrams is willing to do things in Atlanta that no one else has been willing to do. She put forth a plan that was funded by Silicon Valley and the Menlo Park maniacs in California. And she said, I'm going to turn Atlanta into Chicago. It's like, I can create this machine. She said, no one's ever done this before. And that's exactly what's playing out right now in Georgia with faulty voter registration records. And by the way, anyone who says this is not true, then prove it otherwise. Go show me the voter registration records. Why are 14,000 dead voters still on the voter rolls in Wayne County, Detroit? 14,000. Why is that? Why was there a singular data dump in Michigan where every single person voted for Biden? Can someone explain that for me?
Breitbart has a piece talking about exactly that. It's 21,000 dead people on the rolls in Pennsylvania a month before the election. 21,000, I believe.
Black Friday, Cyber Monday, one day only sale. Wouldn't you rather just work with a company who puts you on a pedestal every day? That's what you get from Pure Talk, a veteran-run wireless company who understands what it means to serve. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, if you're with one of them, you're overpaying pure and simple. Pure Talk can easily save you over $400 a year. Listen, this is all you need. Unlimited talk and text and 2 gigs of data for just $20 a month. And if you go over on data usage, they don't charge you for it. What a novelty, a company that actually puts their customers first. Switching to Pure Talk is the easiest decision you'll make today. You can keep your phone or your number. You can keep your phone and your number or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250 and say Charlie Kirk. When you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and say keyword Charlie Kirk. Pure Talk, simply smarter wireless. The President Donald Trump across the country probably did very, very well. He did do very, very well in areas that were unexpected. And the country rejected where there was not inner city voter fraud. Democrats everywhere, right? Everywhere where there are not inner cities.
I think that's why, you know.
No, but think about this. Every single state, I want you guys to understand this. The trend across the country, because these things happen in trends. Even in California, we are poised right now as I do this podcast to pick up 3 House seats in California right now. Yong Kim, and again, they could find ballots, but the fact that it's close, how is it that California, Orange County, in Texas, we won the West Rio Grande Valley in Texas.
Massively Hispanic, by
the
way.
Which
most
Trump
Hispanic
lost
districts.
Significantly. The Democrats poured tens of millions of dollars into that district. Trump won it. How is it that we won in Florida by 3 points and Elvira Salazar. So
she's a great candidate.
So here's where I really think the best argument for voter fraud is right now in the country. It's leadership versus cowardice. Okay. You want to know why Donald Trump won Florida by 3 points? Yes, of course, it's Midwesterners like myself. I've moved to Florida and I'm a registered voter in Florida. It's all that sort of thing. But as soon as Ron DeSantis took the governor's mansion, do you know what the first thing he did? He asked for the resignation of a woman by the name of Brenda Snipes. Do you remember this woman? Let's go back in the Wayback Machine because we have short-term memory loss at times as conservatives. Do you remember in 2018, Ron DeSantis running up against the criminal Andrew Gillum? And then you had the challenger, Senator Rick Scott, against the incumbent Bill Nelson in Florida. Rick Scott won by 10,000 votes. Ron DeSantis won by like 22,000 votes. But do you remember in Broward County when we had these videos of these trucks with ballots that were coming through and that there were days and days of ballot counting? Why is it all of a sudden that Broward County had all their results by 9 o'clock Eastern? Why is that? It's because Ron DeSantis, who won the governor's mansion, he was a leader. He flew down to Broward County, said, Brenda Snipes, you're done. Hand in your resignation. Within a week, she was done. He then said, if you do not have your election results by 9 o'clock Eastern on election night, and if you do not tell us that there will be irregularities and can prove it in front of a judge, then we're going to defund it. We're going to hold you accountable, criminally accountable. They sued Ron DeSantis. Guess what? Ron DeSantis won. He won the lawsuit and said, no, we're going to run elections the right way in Florida. That's why we knew Donald Trump won Florida instantaneously. Miami-Dade County used to be ripe for voter fraud. You know why there was no voter fraud and why we flipped 2 House seats in Miami-Dade County? Because Ron DeSantis said, we're not going to do this. You know what Ron DeSantis also did? He purged the voter rolls in Florida 18 months ago. Dead voters, deceased voters, moved voters, international voters, they were moved off the voter rolls in Florida. This is exactly why you saw the early voting returns benefit Trump so much in Florida. So Brian Kemp, why didn't you do that in Georgia? Brian Kemp, you know why Brian Kemp didn't do this in Georgia? Because he was afraid of a Department of Justice civil rights investigation under a Biden-Harris administration because he doesn't want to be called a racist. Why didn't this happen in Arizona? Why didn't this happen in former Republican governor, Rick Snyder in Michigan? Why didn't we do this in Wisconsin? Ron DeSantis just showed the blueprint of what you can do. By the way, Florida is now becoming a deep red state thanks to Ron DeSantis. Because here's what's happening. When Republicans lead, people gravitate towards those states. So, for example, in Florida, more people of center-right values are now moving to Florida than ever before. Florida's going to be reliably Republican. It's awesome. That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. However, now you have other states like Arizona where Californians are moving in and Republicans have not been leading in the state of Arizona. You want to also know why Donald Trump won Florida convincingly? Because Ron DeSantis says, we're opening up our restaurants. Screw this attack on churches. Small businesses are not going to go under. We're not going to do unilateral mask mandates. Enjoy your life. Act responsibly. People said he was being reckless and he was going to murder his population. Ron DeSantis has some of the lowest hospitalization, lowest death rates of the entire country. GDP is soaring and people are moving into Florida.
Business is booming.
That's why Trump won Florida by 3.5 points. And there was minimal to no fraud at all in Florida because Ron DeSantis was a leader while the rest of the country had cowardly Republicans. Do you start to see the difference? Do we have the clip of Hillary Clinton saying that Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances? If that's the standard for Joe Biden, why should it be different for Donald Trump?
We can grab that clip.
I think we are. We do have a clip. Is that Lindsey Graham on TV? What's Lindsey Graham saying? He's offering some sort of award. I'm glad that he has extra money to throw around right now. I'm glad that we spent tens of millions of dollars making sure he won by 10 in South Carolina. Meanwhile, we can't win Georgia.
He's the reason we're going to have a Senate majority. My race was overwhelming. He helped Senate Republicans. We're going to pick up House seats because of the campaign that President Trump won. I'm going to donate $500,000 tonight to President Trump's defense legal fund.
So he's donating $500,000 to Trump's legal fund. What he should do is he should say that he has $500,000 to anyone that can prove that there's ballot harvesting, voter fraud in the inner cities of our country. And so, look, you put together some of these questions. They deserve answers. I mean, if Republicans were doing this, it would be bad. It would be illegal. So here's from Kyle Becker on Twitter. He's very smart. Biden outperforms senators in swing states and underperforms in Virginia, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. Biden underperforms Hillary and Obama in cities, except in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Wisconsin. Biden mail in dumps with 100% margins, and the Republicans lose zero House races. Something's not right here. That's Kyle Becker, Kyle N. A. Becker on Twitter. All very, right. very good.
I'm gonna have some rose-colored glasses here for just okay. one moment. This could really expose voter fraud in America. Finally.
No, I think that we should. I think we have to demand a full and total recount of every single ballot across the country. Fight it in the courts. Lose no spirit, and say, you know what? This is our negotiating position. The negotiating position is prove you won. That's it. I'm not conceding because Hillary Clinton said that Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances. Let's play Hillary Clinton. Play tape.
And, you know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch and if we are as focused and relentless as the other side is.
I have to just say it's. It's hard to even process how they knew this was going to happen. I think this thing is going to drag out. You know, what's really interesting is that Hillary, Bernie, Red Mirage people, how did they know this was going to be close when all the polling said it wasn't going to be?
Well, and it's funny how she just basically gave us carte blanche for doing the exact same thing she was.
And why is North Carolina still not called?
Oh, because liberal privilege.
No, they're gonna bring Stacey Abrams in.
That's why she has her ballots, so she can fly into.
She's got
into
all the ballots.
Neighboring states. As long as we keep her regionally isolated, I'm fine. I don't want her to have a cabinet position.
Stacey Abrams has exported the Chicago machine to Atlanta, and they realized
set up a franchise.
Yeah, you know, she's a franchise operation of the Solinsky Chicago machine. And look, here's what you guys have to understand. I know some of you watching this are like, I don't see it. I don't see how it could happen. These people were perfectly fine falsifying 302s, using a fake Russian steel dossier, going against President Trump, spying on his campaign, lying about it, and destroying the devices. We saw the criminality that was involved in that at the highest levels of our government. What kind of criminality do you think that is involved in the county and the city parts of government of our country? And yet we deserve more than answers of this. Every single vote in America should be verified and recounted. Every single vote. A hand recount in every single state across the country. Every single state. Email us your questions of the fraud that you are seeing on the front lines. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Freedom@charliekirk.com. We have tons of videos of vote counters that have been filling in bubbles. They say that they were fixing ballots. That is not the role of a vote counter. We have videos of people throwing away ballots because they didn't like what they saw in Philadelphia. We have videos of ballots being delivered in the middle of the night. And we also know from personal experience and otherwise, there's plenty of voter fraud that happens in Chicago and other cities. But here is the Red Mirage clip. Listen to this carefully. We are now living through the Bloomberg created experiment. Play tape.
A mirage, by definition, is something that appears to be there, but that doesn't really exist. And you have a model scenario called the Red Mirage. What does that mean?
The reason we talk about a red mirage is, in fact, because we believe that on election night, we are going to see Donald Trump in a stronger position than the reality actually is.
So that's exactly where they said it was going. And what is the red mirage? It's that people that voted in-person early voting, people that dropped off their ballot, they actually get counted. They get counted immediately. And then all of a sudden, let's bring in all the other ballots from the certain areas in the certain counties that they have a institutional and let's just say a very favorable advantage. You were going to say something, Andrew?
I was just going to say that when this happened, like somewhere around, let's say, 5 a.m. on Wednesday, when we had those spikes in both Michigan and Wisconsin, you sent a text. You said they told us. They told us exactly what they were going to do.
You still have the text.
Yeah. It was at 5 a.m. on Wednesday. they told us what they were going to do. We just didn't believe them, or we just didn't take it seriously. We got complacent thinking that we were going to have a tidal wave, a tsunami of red across the country. And the truth be told, I mean, if you look at some of the down ballot races, if you look at the state legislatures as well, which is another big thing because redistricting, because you've got, you know, 2022 coming up. So these are big wins. In every other single metric, we did really, really well, except for top of the ballot. So they told us what was going to happen, and they did it.
Mm-hmm. And they operated it. We have some emails coming in defending Brian Kemp, saying you are wrong about Brian Kemp in Georgia. Our voter rolls are purged regularly by state law. Also, the governor does not control the county boards of elections in Georgia. Kemp is not afraid of a lawsuit from Abrams. I said, why has he been so silent? Where is his public support of Trump? And is he joining these lawsuits? I haven't seen people are saying he's quarantining because of the virus. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't heard that. I have more faith in Georgia as a whole than I do in Pennsylvania. And I do think that we have a really good chance once military ballots are counted. Like I said earlier, we have 8,900 approximately that could come in. We don't know the final amount because they will be accepted up until 5 or 6 p.m. East Coast time tonight. So say we get 6,000 of them, they break 70-30, we probably overcome the deficit that we have right now. So Georgia really could flip back to red. And I still think that there's a chance in Arizona. If that happens, we better be litigating every single vote. We better have dueling observers, you know, going back to the Florida days, 2000, looking at every single ballot in Philadelphia.
We have to go back into every, we should go back into every single ballot throughout the entire, every one of these states. And by the way, just so you guys know that if the Supreme Court decides to reverse its decision, in Pennsylvania, a lot of these recent votes could be invalidated in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden's lead could really evaporate. Very, very well could.
And a lot of people probably don't know what you're talking about. Cut six. Could you guys load that?
Cut six.
Yeah.
Trace Gallagher. Yeah. How important it is to the Supreme Court.
Exactly. Yeah. He lays it out really well.
And
here.
Michigan and Wisconsin should be completely and totally audited.
Let's play that clip.
Yeah. And I think it's important. Everybody knows the context of what we're talking about here. You see Pennsylvania, where Joe Biden's now leading by 6,000 plus votes. You are the Senate majority leader in Pennsylvania. The Republicans control the state house in Pennsylvania. The governor is a Democrat. The election commission and the governor are the ones that changed the deadline that the legislature put in place. That is why the Supreme Court is taking a look at this, and that is why there's such contentions.
So just making sure you caught that, we've got 30 seconds left in this segment. The legislature set the deadline. The governor overturned it. That's why there is a legitimate court grievance, and we're going to see how that gets litigated. It's important.
Every single vote must be recounted across the country. We must have a massive vote recount by hand. We are diving into all the results as they continue to come in. Let's play this Michigan tape. What cut is this? Cut 22. Let's play cut 22.
If all this wasn't enough, in Antrim County, ballots were counted for Democrats that were meant for Republicans, causing a 6,000 vote swing against our candidates. The county clerk came forward and said tabulating software glitched and caused a miscalculation of the votes. Since then, we have now discovered that 47 counties use this same software in the same capacity.
47 counties use the same software. So what if there were 6,000 votes in every single county? What if there was 1,000 votes in every county?
I thought this was limited to just one county, so I didn't really...
So it's all across the state. President Trump and his campaign should sue everywhere they possibly can. We need to engage in lawfare, and they need to request relief. They need to request an injunction from the courts all across the country, especially in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Now, here's what's going to happen. The activist media is going to try to prevent this conversation and this recount from occurring. The activist media is going to try to coronate Joe Biden. They are going to try to suffocate us from talking about this and try to put us on the fringe. This must be fought in the courts indefinitely and relentlessly. Here's a little bit of an interesting factoid. the Activist News Network, blue check people on Twitter, and not even Joe Biden certify election results. States certify election results, and the House of Representatives does. But before the states can certify them, there can be no outstanding potential litigation that could upend the certification of these results. A race being called is far from a race being certified. I hope everyone understands that. That's why we do elections in November and swearing in January.
Even if the networks call it.
The networks have no say whatsoever about this.
Well, so I'm just saying, for those of you out there, when they hear the networks call it, that doesn't mean anything. It has to be certified. And that's a big piece of tape right there.
The Michigan?
Yeah.
So they found 6,000 vote irregularities throughout one county clerk in Michigan. One.
Well, I mean, that might be the beginning of
what if
a
they were,
big thread.
Well, Ben, were there voting irregularities in Milwaukee? Were there voting irregularities in Minnesota? Why does the activist media, they're so quick to try to investigate whether or not Ivanka Trump's son made a Lego castle White House, but they won't investigate any voter fraud or voting irregularities.
So we need to keep our eye out right now. And I think this is the biggest storyline right in this moment. Who is fighting? Who is not? Is the establishment sitting on their heels, or are they going to get behind this president and fight back? Are they going to make sure that every legal ballot is counted? And keep a lookout. If they're not fighting, they're not with you. They're not with us.
Yeah, so that's a deeper point I'm going to get to in this next segment, which is we're learning a lot about the state of the Republican Party right now. We're learning who the fighters are. We're learning who the cowards are. We're learning about the people with no backbones. We're going to name names. I'm going to start with the good guys, and then we'll get to the bad guys, because there have been some governors that have been MIA on this entire fight. And there's been some governors, and there's people that have been going right into the fight. Ron DeSantis has been terrific in Florida. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And here's the other part of it, though, which is how many Republicans didn't work as hard as they would have the last couple of weeks because they thought this thing was actually in the bag? A lot. And so we're going to dive into where the direction and the future of the party is going, because this tells us a lot. It really does. And it's really interesting. Don Jr. sent out a tweet yesterday. He said, really sad to see many of the 2024 contenders not voice their support for Trump. As soon as he said that,
yeah.
Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, a lot of people Dan Crenshaw all of a sudden were like, oh, wait, hold on a second. I want to get into power one day.
Yeah. Well, and here's
and
here's
I know these people. It was just very interesting.
They're relying on us having a short memory, just accepting defeat.
They're relying on people all of a sudden want to turn the chapter, turn the page on the Trump chapter. This is a durable movement that is not going away.
Well, this is a bigger conversation for
the next segment. We're going to talk about how durable this MAGA movement is.
Yeah, Trump's going nowhere.
Yeah, Trump is going nowhere, regardless of how many votes that they stole. He's going to be the most powerful figure in the Republican Party indefinitely.
Yeah, and this is not conceding defeat, folks.
It's not what I'm saying, but yeah. I'm saying that regardless of all these anti-Trump Republicans who think all of a sudden this chapter is going to be turned, this is the most energetic, enthusiastic, durable, committed movement. And he has received more votes he has gotten the second most amount of votes of anyone ever running for president in the history of the United States.
Yeah, well,
who's actually supporting the president right now? Seems like there's an eerie amount of silence. The Philadelphia mayor just came out and viciously attacked Trump while votes were still being counted. Remember when the Pennsylvania attorney general, before the votes were even cast in Pennsylvania, came out and said Donald Trump's going to lose Pennsylvania? Why is that?
She got asked about that.
No, he. There's oh, a he and a, she's a secretary of state.
That's what I was thinking.
They control every level of government. Actually, they have Republicans control the state legislature in Pennsylvania.
They just came
out and said that they're not going to do anything.
They're not. To be fair, though, it's a bit of a radical move to do that, right? I mean,
ask for a total and complete recount?
I mean, for them to sort of step into that arena, it's a little bit unusual. Some might even call it radical, is all I'm saying. It's not beyond the pale, but it's not normal. So
the combined forces of big tech and Hollywood and professional athletes and celebrities and the donor class, this was not their ideal scenario. Their ideal scenario would have been the blue wave that they thought they were going to have, and it didn't materialize anywhere. Let me be very clear. This was a red wave election. Regardless of what you're seeing on television,
yeah.
What you're seeing is a bizarre surge of only Biden voters in urban cities.
Yeah.
Everywhere else in was four. A convincing red, right? Everywhere else was a convincing red wave. State legislatures were not flipped. Governor's mansions were not flipped. We're going to flip 11 to 15 House seats. If we flip 15 House seats, again, it's TBD, but let's say we flip 15. Nancy Pelosi will have like a 4 or 5 seat majority. You know how easy that will be to flip in 2022?
The map is in our favor in 2022. They're playing defense.
The only Senate race that was really bad for us, there's two of them.
Except.
One is Arizona and one is Colorado. That's it. We overperformed in North Carolina thanks to Trump. We overperformed in Iowa thanks to Trump. We overperformed in South Carolina thanks to Trump. We overperformed in Kentucky thanks to Trump. We overperformed in Montana thanks to Trump. And we overperformed in Maine thanks to Trump.
Gosh, that Collins, I mean, that was a heck of a win.
And Susan Massive. Collins was told that she was going to lose by 10, and yet she's – what's the final results for Susan Collins in Maine? I think she won
by
convincingly.
6 or 7 points, right?
Yeah, she's up 9 points right now in Maine with 99% incredible. Reporting. She won by 9 points. It's a big deal.
It's a really big deal.
And so the question then remains, how is it that there was a red wave and a red surge in Florida, that there was a red wave and a red surge in Ohio, that there was a red wave and a red surge in Iowa?
With African Americans, with Hispanics.
And we did better with
Married women.
We did better with suburban women than people would have thought. We won married women across the country.
It's incredible. I thought women hate Trump. Only unmarried, apparently.
We won. Get this. This is how convincing this red wave was. We just flipped a congressional seat by 8 points in upstate New York. With Claudia Tenney.
That's incredible.
So how does that, you know why that happens? Because the Chicago machine wasn't in upstate New York. That's why.
Well, and Don Jr. had that really interesting tweet. He said, why did this not happen in 2016? It's because they were complacent. They said to themselves, we're not going to let this happen again. They didn't get caught, you know, flat-footed this time around. They knew that Trump was a formidable force. So what did they do? They got their corporate pollsters to come that it was 17 points behind, that it wouldn't be worth raising money for, wouldn't be worth out to the polls for. And meanwhile, they're behind the scenes telling us that there's going to be a red mirage, telling us that it's too dangerous to come out of hiding because of the pandemic.
So those of us that were looking at this carefully and closely, what did we see? We saw businesses being boarded up. We saw threats that they're going to have to kick Trump out of office. We saw threats of a red mirage. Hillary Clinton conceding under no circumstances, and Biden having 500 lawyers on staff. So we saw all those things happening. Plus, we saw the rallies. We saw the real polling, the real leading indicators. We thought to ourselves, this race is going to be really close. And then we even had a segment with Tom Fitton. Remember, Tom Fitton came on our program 2.5 weeks ago. I said, are we ready for voter fraud? He said, no. Mm-hmm. So we did not have the infrastructure. We did not have the people in place. We did not have the auditing, the poll watching, none of it. And now we're losing on the lawfare side.
I was talking to a mainstream news media. I will keep the outlet anonymous. This is a left-leaning outlet by a long shot. And I brought this point up with this person, and he said back to me, he said, well, why didn't they, if they really fixed this election, why didn't they fix down ballot? And I was like, because, you know, it's called Trump derangement syndrome.
But here's the reason, is that then it gets to be a lot messier, though, because as soon as you start to fix down ballot, all of a sudden you're going to have local and state officers get very involved in auditing it. Here's the point, though. If you fix the state races, you're then going to have legal challenges on the state level, where now it's all on the federal level. It's a very different thing. It's a lot riskier to fix state and local elections like that. So let's just take Pennsylvania, for example. Currently, as we're doing this program, Trump trails in Pennsylvania by 9,800 votes. So in Arizona, Maricopa County, one of the largest counties in the country, there are about 9,000 precincts in Maricopa County. So I'm going to just estimate that there's probably in Bucks County, Delaware County, and Philadelphia, let's say there's probably 7,000 precincts. Let's just be conservative.
Okay.
So if there's 7,000 precincts, now hear me out. A precinct is like a neighborhood. Okay. Precinct is 500 to 600 homes. What does that mean? That means it takes one fraudulent ballot per precinct to get Joe Biden what he has in Pennsylvania right now. So it actually doesn't take widespread voter fraud. It takes one person per precinct to fill in a ballot fraudulently. It takes one person per precinct to get an extra mail-in ballot and fill it in for Biden. That's what we're looking at in Pennsylvania right now. We're looking at in Georgia. In Georgia, the metro Atlanta area, there's probably 6,000 precincts that are Democrat controlled. Currently, Donald Trump trails by 1,500 votes. All it takes then is for one out of six of those precincts to fill it in fraudulently in Atlanta or in Savannah to benefit the Democrat candidate.
Or to throw out.
But do you understand the math, though? Here's the thing is that when you're dealing on the margins here right now, like we are, it doesn't take the tranches of ballots. It doesn't take 100,000 of these. That's probably what they ended up getting. There is, when you have a machine that is run by the public sector unions and run by these thugs that run these inner cities, which is what they are.
It's a political machine that's been running this way for decades.
And it's the old belief that you get five ballots per precinct for your preferred candidate and you have 4,000 to 5,000 precincts throughout the entire area. You're talking about tens of thousands of vote margins. This was their insurance policy. This is their plan B. Their plan A, let me be very clear though, this was not what they wanted. In the last couple of weeks, they did everything they could through the Goldberg piece, through the $100 million television advertisements to avoid this. This is not an ideal circumstance for them. Well, that's why we must fight
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And here's
their ideal circumstance is Biden wins by six and no one cares about the fraud.
I think they made one massive mistake, specifically in Pennsylvania. And if what we're saying is true, it's going to be found out in discovery, in litigation. They made an idiotic move to keep the observers, the ballot observers, away from the actual ballots. We're talking hundreds of yards or hundreds of feet rather. That's enough, as we mentioned earlier in the show, that's enough of a legal dispute that it's going to get litigated. And in discovery, then we're going to be able to start peeling back layers. We're going to start understanding what else was going on here. So you know, Breitbart is reporting 21,000 dead people on Pennsylvania voter rolls. 21,000.
Well, and National Review is reporting, which has not always been very nice to me, and they're more of an establishment outlet, that there's 14,000 dead people in Wayne County, Detroit, dead people. 14,000.
Well, and we have this glitch in this
software. Let's play the glitch clip again for people that have just tuned in. It's that important. It really is.
I mean, it's potentially
the entire election. So this woman is the Republican chair or something, but she says on a county clerk, she's referencing it. Let's play tape.
If all this wasn't enough, in Antrim County, ballots were counted for Democrats that were meant for Republicans, causing a 6,000 vote swing against our candidates. The county clerk came forward and said tabulating software glitched and caused a miscalculation of the votes. Since then, we have now discovered that 47 counties use this same software in the same capacity.
47 counties used software that had a 6,000 vote misreporting.
So the second time we played that, and it's wow.
But again, when people say there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud, first of all, there's been 1,100 prosecuted cases of voter fraud
Heritage has
across the country.
On this.
Yeah, and we've been through all that. There's been 28 million mail-in ballots that have gone missing in the last couple of elections. There are more people registered than people that live in the states in 15 of the key states across the country. We know this. But again, all it takes is for a well-oiled political machine to do this on the margins. Let me be very clear. They used to be able to do this in Ohio because Ohio used to be a state that was within 1 or 2 points. When you start to win states convincingly like Trump did, the machinery cannot make up for it. The reason this is playing out and the reason that this is materializing is because now this is on the margins. So here's what happened is that the Biden campaign saw their internals collapsing a couple days before the election. The Biden saw that independents were going their way. So they sent out a fire alarm. This is exactly why Biden was nervous the couple days before the election. So what did they do? They sent Stacey Abrams and everyone into the major cities of the country, and they sent a stand down order. This is very important. They said, you're not going to count ballots on election night. You're not. Now, why is the significance of that? Because if they might actually have counted all the ballots on election night without all the fraud and all the nonsense, Trump could have declared legitimate victory on election night. This multi-day tranche of ballots gave them time to compensate because there are so many ballots that were out there. So let me tell you, for example, they send out tens of millions of ballots and there's ballots that don't get claimed. Well, what if someone was actually going around and scooping up ballots? What if someone was going around that didn't have the best intentions in mind in Metro Atlanta and just was in charge of just going and collecting an extra 10 or 12,000 ballots. You fill them all in for Biden. You know when they don't require signature verification in a lot of these states? And the signature can just be like a scribble. This is not plan A for them. This is why President Trump has to fight this. This could be one of the greatest exposures of voter fraud and criminality that we've ever seen in our country.
Yeah, and I don't think we're painting this with too rosy a picture. I mean, this is an uphill fight. There's no doubt about it. But there is too much weird stuff happening.
Well, here. I mean, let's just go through it again, okay? We have Donald Trump does the best that a Republican has ever done since 1960 when it comes to black and Hispanic voters. Donald Trump has the second most votes of any presidential candidate ever running for president in the history of the country. President Trump overperforms in every single city across the country except Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, yeah.
Four cities he did worse in. Joe Biden had 90% turnout amongst the black community, more so than Obama and more so than any other Democrat that ran for office in ever.
Yeah.
Joe Biden had no ground game. He had no field staff. He had no voter registration operation. He had no GOTV and no enthusiasm. President Donald Trump has a new statement out, it looks like. We believe the American people deserve to have full transparency into all vote counting and election certification. And this is no longer about a single election. This is about the integrity of the entire election process. From the beginning, we have said that all legal ballots must be counted and all illegal ballots should not be counted. Yet we have met resistance to this basic principle by Democrats at every turn. We will pursue this process through every aspect of the law to guarantee that the American people have confidence in our government. I will never give up fighting for you and our nation. God bless him. And yet you have Republicans running to the hills. I'd like to congratulate somebody here. I'd like to congratulate the true winner of this election, which is Mr. William Bradley. Mr. William Bradley was born in 1902. I believed he lived a good life. I never knew William Bradley. I've heard nothing but good things. But William Bradley, let's get this up on screen. William Bradley received an absentee ballot application on September 11th. William Bradley is
allegedly.
It says right here.
I know.
William Bradley's 118 years old and he died a long time ago. William Bradley had the ballot sent to him on the 19th of September and William Bradley submitted his ballot on the 2nd of October. William Bradley is dead. And you see it on your screen right there. You guys can do it yourself. You can go to the Michigan Secretary of State's office. It's all there. Just type in names and birth years of people you know that have lived and died in the state of Michigan and look at it yourself. They might have voted. I don't think he's a Donald Trump voter. Just guessing.
Charlie, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Trumpism without Trump. This is what's trending on Twitter right now. I see a lot of people talking about Trumpism without Trump. Now, I'm not conceding. Don't misunderstand. But I think a lot of people are underestimating the durability of what Donald Trump has built within the...
Well, it's not even about Trumpism. I mean, it's more about, I like MAGA even better, which is that what are we going to do as a movement and as a party to still stay the workers' party and the normal people's party, not the elite and the ruling class and the ivory tower party? Because that's basically, Joe Biden is not a movement Democrat. He's not. He's a technocrat. He's actually more dangerous. In fact, he's way more dangerous than a movement Democrat because he now wants to merge the corporate interests into government. Now, this is actually why it's so important that Republicans held on to the Senate. If Republicans didn't hold on to the Senate, then voices like Josh Hawley and voices like Ted Cruz, who have been terrific. I want to mention those two guys. Have they been awesome or what?
They've been great.
Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley have been phenomenal.
They've been fighters.
Preemptively, before a lot of the drumbeat of like, where is everybody? They've been phenomenal. Now they are in the majority where all of a sudden, for example, if a tech company goes out of line, the Senate can still subpoena them and ask them very, very firm questions. You were going to say something?
No, I was just going to say Josh Hawley today introduced legislation that would outlaw ballot harvesting.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a
day late and a dollar short.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little frustrating.
Yeah. You guys can email us your questions of what you're seeing, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com.
But for all those establishment conservatives, Republicans, that are quiet, that are distancing themselves for Donald Trump, I genuinely believe this, that is the massive miscalculation of their careers, of their political careers. Trump, even if he does lose, even if he doesn't maintain the office, will be the number one fundraiser within the conservative movement for the next decade.
Yeah, I mean, this is now Trump's party indefinitely. 100%. Yes.
So he still has a ton of power, regardless of how this shakes out. And I still have a lot of faith that this litigation is going to unearth some serious fraud in Pennsylvania and other places. But nevertheless, you're coming up against a buzzsaw in Donald Trump and the MAGA movement. You don't draw crowds
this,
like
this
that.
This movement is not going away. It's not.
It's not. Totally agree.
And so, in fact, it's only going to grow and it's only going to intensify. President Donald Trump's statement is perfect. This is not about an election. This is about the integrity of our system. Because right now, here's what we're playing with. And by the way, if we lost legitimately, then okay, fine. But people don't believe that.
Nope.
And they're not going to respect the transfer of power, and they're not going to respect the government. And with that, they're not going to respect the country. Everything that Biden does now will have a asterisk on it. So this is why, here's the Biden case for a recount. If Biden wants to be an effective president, and if Biden wants to actually save the Democrat Party, because here's the thing that no one's talking about. They cheated in four cities. It's so obvious. They lost everywhere else. Everywhere. They had an awful night.
Their idea is lost. I genuinely believe that.
But voters resoundedly rejected the coastal elite agenda of Nancy Pelosi.
And BLM, and Antifa.
If it wasn't for Pelosi's margins that she won in 18, McCarthy would be Speaker of the House right now.
And why'd they win that, though?
Because of Mueller.
Because of a lie.
Because of a total lie. But here's the point.
Job.
That if you're Joe Biden and you want if you want to rebuild the Democrat Party to be a workers' party or whatever, and if you're Joe Biden and you want to actually be able to govern with consensus, Joe Biden has to demand a recount right now. Yeah. Do you know why? Because now people are not going to respect his presidency at all.
Yeah, let me see this.
You going to write something down?
Nope. The paper's underneath it.
If people do not respect Joe Biden's presidency and they think he's an illegitimate president, not dissimilar to how people wrongly viewed Donald Trump, but they would rightly view it in this case, Joe Biden will not be able to govern the country. And it will be, I mean, by the way, let's just be honest. Joe Biden's son is still under FBI investigation. Joe Biden actually might be under FBI investigation.
Is. And by the way, he's still getting cut in and deals.
So let's just see this. Here's how upset I am. We didn't do anything on voter fraud or election fraud. We just kind of let it happen. We talked a good game. A lot of Republicans stayed at home and did not work on the weekends. We also underperformed with one core constituency, which is evangelical voters. We underperformed with evangelical voters because of these mega church pastors that were much more concerned about having social media likes and being part of the BLM incorporated terrorist organization than actually doing good things for the kingdom or good things for the country. And now you're seeing that because this thing's being lost on the margins.
Yeah.
If let's just say it plays out. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say that there's no fraud in anything. Why did this happen? Three big reasons: complacency and misinformation by Republicans. I gave 100 speeches in the last 50 days, two a day, sometimes four a day. You know, the number one thing I was told by people: we're going to win in a landslide. I look them in the eyes. I'm like, no, we're not. You think they're going to let this happen in a landslide? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's a landslide. I said, did you go knock on any doors? Did you walk any precincts? Nah, we got this in the bag all the time. So complacency and misinformation about a landslide. It was very, very harmful. Number two, pastors that let this happen. Pastors that did not take a stand for Trump and pastors that thought it was okay that we have a million abortions every single year in our country. If pastors would have rose up and consolidated against Trump, we would have won these states by 3 or 4 points and they wouldn't have been able to cheat.
I agree with you.
BLM infiltrating the church is one of the reasons this happened.
There's some evidence to suggest that we did have a little bit of erosion in the evangelical vote. We might have actually had a larger number as a whole, but a less share of the percentage.
Yes.
Which is big when you're losing by, you know, potentially 5,000 votes in Georgia.
Well, it's more than big. It's everything.
Yeah.
And so now you see that play out. Now, the third aspect of this is, the third reason why, if it doesn't play out, this happened is because of weak Republicans. is because Republicans who lost faith in Trump a couple weeks ago and they started to pull their funding, pull their confidence, and did not consolidate against it. With those three things still being the same, I think that President Donald Trump has to contest every single vote.
Has to.
This is now the most important fight in President Trump's life. It's more important than the Amy Coney Barrett, Gorsuch, or Kavanaugh, Mueller, impeachment, Durham, all of it. Here's why. For the good of the country, I want to know whether we lost legitimately or not. And if you can show me evidence that we lost legitimately, show me that Mr. Bradley, by the way, let me just go do this again. I want to just congratulate Mr. Bradley, who's been dead for 30 years, for voting. I don't know how he pulled it off. It's pretty amazing. But Mr. Bradley voted. Let's put this back on the screen here. We got so many emails. Okay. This guy's 118 years old. He died a long time ago. Born in 1902. America looked a lot different in 1902. And he voted in the election. Mr. Bradley received a ballot on the 11th of September. Mr. Bradley sent in his ballot on the 19th of September. They received his ballot on the 2nd of October.
It's not bad for a...
This right here alone should be enough to sue to be able to open up the entire voter file.
They're full of their excuses. Like, oh, these are clerical errors that have been addressed.
Oh, they're clerical errors. Right. Yep. Exactly. Just like how there were 100,000 ballots that were all dropped simultaneously that all went against Trump. Here's where President Trump stands right now. President Donald Trump stands for the integrity of the entire institution of the American government. That's now what this fight is all about. It's no longer about Trump or Biden. We obviously know, you know, what we want that to be. This is now whether or not the American system will continue.
I think it's really important right now, just based off what you're saying, that when people virtue signal and say Trump needs to quietly, you know, stand down for the sake of the Republic, although they wouldn't say that, they'd say for the democracy,
which is an incorrect language.
For the sake of the Republic, he needs to stand down so that we still have confidence in our systems. No, that's actually the exact wrong thing to do. The exact right thing to do is to allow a transparent auditing of all of these contested cities, so that people can have confidence. The only way you're going to get confidence is to allow this process to play out. It's the only way.
And very, very smart people are now going through all the voter rolls and they're understanding massive errors here, massive errors. And we're starting to see that you had 194,000 votes that were suddenly added out of Milwaukee County at 4 a.m. after they said they were no longer counting ballots.
Have you seen
102 wards added more than 500 votes? This is a guy on Twitter by the name of Spotted Toad. I love these anonymous accounts.
Or which state?
That's in Wisconsin. Just Wisconsin voter data.
Nobody's moving to Wisconsin.
But Milwaukee lost population.
No, I'm saying the whole state probably lost population.
Yes, that's right.
How are they adding people?
Well, because Mr. Bradley voted. The 118-year-old from Michigan
voted.
They
didn't add people.
We have evidence that Mr. Bradley voted. It's not evidence. It's more than evidence.
In Wisconsin, just 6 feet under.
There is now a statistical analysis being done of Wisconsin and Michigan, and is statistically impossible.
That was incredible.
It's statistically impossible that Joe Biden had the turnout. Yeah. We're going to get this on the screen right here. Which one? This one?
Both of them.
Yeah.
They're these right angles. That's not how elections work.
It looks like that when you need the plan B to happen.
Connor, let's throw this.
Remember when Peter Strzok said that they have an insurance policy? That's exactly what's going on here. This is from the redelephants.com. I think that they were mean to me once.
I don't care. True. This graph is all over the internet.
I don't really care if they were. This transcends that. I don't care.
Yeah, we're same team right now.
I don't really care. Okay, so.
This is just unbelievable.
I said it because I wanted to make sure I cited the source. I didn't want to shortchange it.
So can we get that?
We're getting that up on screen right now. You guys can email us what you're seeing, freedom@charliekirk.com.
This was everywhere on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I saw this everywhere, and I'm telling you, there's USA Today fact checkers telling us that we're wrong. I don't care. I haven't seen.
No, this is the best one right here.
I have not seen.
Jeez, this is a really good article they wrote here.
I haven't seen a good example.
This is really good.
Yeah, exactly. This is the
best consolidation I've seen.
Yeah.
It's good. Really, really good. Okay, so we're going to put this other one up on screen. So do you see that right angle turn? Okay. This was not turning right on Fifth Avenue.
So you went to bed maybe on Tuesday night.
I did. So I want to be honest. Like I collapsed at like 3-4 o'clock Eastern.
You'd
I collapsed.
Like 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, I had 2 hours of sleep, and I've been going crazy. And I called my Wisconsin guys, which were part of the Walker operation, and they said, "We're going to win this thing by 11,000 votes. Milwaukee County, there's no way Milwaukee County will come through this kind of
How many
votes.
Times have we heard something
no,
along
but,
those
but
lines?
But that was 4 a.m., okay? And these guys know the state of Wisconsin, okay? Really, really well. I grew up right across the border. I grew up in northern Illinois. And next thing you know, boom, this right-hand turn comes. So now I want to show you something here. Can you go to the next chart that I sent you? So I want you just look at Wisconsin turnout, okay?
Yeah, they're pulling it up right now. Just describe it.
So Wisconsin turnout, let's just go through some numbers. The next one I sent you, Connor.
Yeah, it'll come up.
In Wisconsin in 1960, 75% of voters voted. In 2004, they had their highest turnout with 75%. In 2008, they had 70%. In 2012, they had 70%. In 2016, they were right around 66%. Let's get that next one up. Now, I want you to first, before we get this thing on, Wisconsin had the highest ever voter turnout with college campuses being closed in the state of Wisconsin. Is that what you're trying to tell me? UW-Madison, Marquette, and the massive schools across Wisconsin were closed. And Wisconsin had 89.3% turnout, which is a 5.5 standard deviation from the historical average of 66.8%, a virtual statistical impossibility. How is that possible? Who's asking these questions right now?
I have seen this contested. I will be honest. I've heard that we're doing it over. So if you do the math, if this is a percentage of registered voters, it falls that way. If it's a percentage of adult voting age, it drops down to like 73% or 4%. So I don't know how they're all doing the math, but it's definitely an interesting data point. It's another. I think what's more fascinating is Milwaukee adding voters when their population has been declining for the last decade at least.
With same day voter registration. So yep. Look at that right
12%,
there. 12%. You're saying
by
some people. Well, how do some people refute this?
That graph?
Yeah.
They're saying that we're, you know, numerator, denominator. They're saying we're using the wrong denominator. They're saying it's 89% of registered voters, but it's 73 or 71% of voting age adults.
That's still insanely high, though.
It's really
That's still higher than any other.
It's really high. So it's enough to pull the election.
Let's just take their number then. Yeah, let's just say it's 70. I don't believe it.
71%.
That you're trying to tell me that 71% of people in Wisconsin came out to go vote with Joe Biden? No way. And here's the thing that during the virus lockdowns.
How did we do down ballot in Wisconsin, actually?
We did really well. No. We won state led races, congressional races.
Did we flip anything?
I don't think there were any up for flipping.
Okay.
But we did really. So let me tell you some numbers. Here's the reason why I believe that Wisconsin was probably stolen from us in Milwaukee County. Okay. Can we go back to the live stream here? So let me tell you some numbers. One county in particular I know really well. I grew up right down the street from it. It's so funny how hard it is to find these numbers now. They bury them. So you have to know exactly what you're looking for. If you don't know what you're looking for, you can't find the stuff on the internet. They just absolutely bury it. Okay. So, Kenosha County. So, Donald Trump was winning Kenosha County by 29 points on election night.
That's amazing.
Now he's won it by 3 points.
You mean BLM Kenosha?
So, as soon as the election night ended, it went from a 29-point lead to a 3-point lead. How is that possible?
We won it by 1 point last time, right?
Won it by 1 point.
So.
And it was behaving the way it should have, but now it is 3 points. How is that possible? So Donald Trump allegedly lost. So let me tell you how easy voter fraud is. So Donald Trump lost Wisconsin by 20,000 votes. So all it would take. So let me just make some rough estimates. There's probably 2,000 precincts in Milwaukee general area. That's probably about right. Yeah, probably a little bit less. 1,800 precincts. Okay. And no, but if you count Madison, there's probably 2,000. Okay. Madison's just the same. Madison's one of the most liberal cities in America. All it would take is one throwing away of a Trump ballot and one fraudulent Biden ballot. And five Biden ballots per precinct to make this happen. And for people that have looked into the Wisconsin data, they said very simply and clearly that there is no possible way that this statistically could have happened. So there's a clip now out of MSNBC. They're now saying there's 100,000 provisional ballots in Pennsylvania. Is that right? 100,000 provisional ballots. And most of those ballots lean Republican because these were in rural areas of people that probably didn't register that were inspired. This is what Steve Kornacki says. We're going to get a fact check on this right now. There's still a path for the president, everybody. This thing might be won in the courts.
You combine that with this Michigan.
I'm telling you right now, this just for someone that got, I cut my teeth in Illinois politics. I cut my teeth in voter fraud in Chicago, seeing these stories, meeting people that have experienced it firsthand.
Well, look at this.
This smells like Chicago voter fraud.
Look at this. This is a story while we're pulling up that clip. This is a story. Chris Bedford, we've had him on the podcast before.
Let's have him on next week. He's an amazing guy.
Used to be the editor-in-chief over at Daily Caller, and now he is at The Federalist.
Yeah.
So he has this story, American Hustle, Party Insiders Tell the True Story of How Philadelphia Elections Worked. So if you guys are out there...
Wasn't that a movie?
Yeah. Well, that's why he brought it up, because this guy was actually featured in the movie. So if you guys are out there and you're doubting, you think this sounds like we're painting this with
no, I think I actually think everyone watching, I think everyone I think watching maybe, us believes everything we're saying. Which so they
the
should.
The point is, this is how he starts it. I love it. Most Americans might not know the name Ozzie Myers, although a part of his tale was told in the hit 2013 movie American Hustle about the FBI sting that sent four congressmen to prison in the 1970s. If you're from Philadelphia, though, you know his name and knew it well before 2013. He's important to the country now because he's currently under indictment for bribing a state election judge to stuff ballots for Democrat candidates. Among the candidates he was paid to get elected are three as of yet unnamed judges sitting on the Philadelphia Commons Pleas Court. That's where Donald Trump's re-election campaign has to go when local election officials refuse to let campaign monitors oversee ballot integrity. Okay, put that together for you. There's a guy named Ozzie Myers who's so famous in Philadelphia, he was featured in a Hollywood movie, that's under indictment for bribing election judges. These three as of yet unnamed judges are exactly what's behind this controversy in Philadelphia, where the monitors were not allowed to go see ballot integrity. They were 100 feet away. They were trying to use binoculars to see it. This is not how ballot monitoring is supposed to work. This is Hollywood big. This is famous. We know this happens. We know this happens, and it's as clear as day. I mean, the article goes on. There's a lot there.
It's called American Hustle. Party Insiders Tell the Story of How Philadelphia Elections Work. The Federalist. I encourage you guys to check that out. Do we have that other video to show? There's 100,000 ballots. So there's 100,000 provisional ballots still left in Pennsylvania, and Joe Biden's lead is how big right now? Let's see how Joe Biden is doing. Joe Biden currently has
like a 13,000.
Really, 13,000 vote lead. So if we're able to throw out some of these fraudulent ballots in Philadelphia.
And there's 40,000, apparently up to 40,000 military ballots.
So there's 40,000 military in Pennsylvania.
All military? Some of those are overseas.
Which would skew very Democrat because those are professors.
Those are expats.
Yeah.
Europe.
But they hang around, a bunch of foreigners learning about how awful America is all day long. However, the military skews very, very heavy Trump. The military almost always does.
Well, I think there's probably more military than there are overseas.
Yeah, but by the way, can we get a better way that military members don't have to be counted last?
And why do they have to get lumped in with overseas? Can't they just have their own?
Should they have like a priority?
We should know how many military ballots
there are.
Shouldn't
military ballots be counted as like kind of a preference?
They should get counted first.
What kind of crazy system is this that we just kind of count them if we need them? It's kind of gross and insulting, isn't it?
That's actually a good point.
It's kind of really weird that everyone else's vote counts except the military people count. I don't understand that at all whatsoever. I think that it's going to be tight. It is definitely going to be tight. I want to thank all of you that are supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. We are rallying here. But please, if you guys like what we're doing, you want to get behind what we're doing, charliekirk.com/support's the place to do it. If you like some of the swag and you want to get it 100%, it's shoptpusa.com, tpusa.com/SAS. Email us what you are saying. We're seeing at freedom@charliekirk.com. We're going to take a couple-hour break just to refuel, and then we'll be back in a little bit. Thank you, guys.